Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, our first CAN show, January 3rd, 2009. Well, I'm glad to be back with you guys. We've been on a hiatus for the month of December, as you can tell, 2009. Dr. Fred will be back live on Friday nights with a lot of whole new stable of some amazing guests already lined up. So we're going to have some fun this year. We're going to rock and roll. And February 14th, we'll be at live at Los Angeles Hilton on Century Boulevard doing the Conscious Living Expo. So with that, we're going to listen to a continuation of the seminar tape. We're looking for Dr. Bell right now. Would you please enter the stage, Dr. Bell? Are you there? I know you're there somewhere. We're looking for Dr. Bell.
Step one, primary energy, I'm showing it in the drawings here, moon.
There he is.
Energy from the upper realm.
I'm turning the show over to you, Dr. Bell.
And I discussed it in the previous chapter, the seven levels, which we just mentioned again. It enters the body at the chakra point, strike zone, causing a shock, struck. This shock only lasts a split second, but a lot happens. Many life is sustained in our bodies, and gravity is created. Let us follow the sequence. Okay. Some of the energy,
pretty good stuff right here,
strikes the body. Some of the energy perfectly balances. Okay, if it didn't, we wouldn't stay in our body; we'd be dead. Some of the energy balances perfectly, sustaining life in the form, while some energy collides with the form. Basically, that's the personality, right? Because if we didn't have collision, we wouldn't have personality. We'd all be one. If you don't have antimatter, you don't have matter. If you don't have dissonance, you don't have resonance. You don't have creation. This energy is called strike zone energy and causes fusion of the three etheric zones, which during that reaction, the four levels of solids are created. Remember I showed you yesterday? First ether, second ether, third ether, ionic gas, liquid, solid. Boom, this blast creates this etheric blast, which is etheric energy, it's physical, but it's etheric, strikes it, causing solid energy to happen. Okay. Although all form is created this way, the spirit, now here's the difference now, we're not creating a rock though, the spirit enters through the chakras first, is the molding essence. So now we've made a collision, we've had a resistance, which is the personality, boom, here comes the spirit. We've also made a cell start to reproduce. The energy constantly permeates all forms this way and forms patterns. If viewed at various intersections, the strike zone itself is a fusion pattern, and the network of strikes can be visualized macroscopically as a pyridine orb, or a carbon molecule, that thing up on the top up there. The angle at which the collisions occur to the right, so it is seen as a series of crosses. This is where he was talking about the pyramid is formed in a square, but it's also the crystals. The orb is the framework of the strike and struck zones forming all form as we know it. It is also the shape of the physical and etheric body relationship. It is a crystal. A crystal, remember, is the perfect synthesis of spirit and matter in zero time. Remember, I told you that yesterday, right out of her mouth. This was the first system that we ever had up here. That's the very first thing that they gave me was that. Now, as the spirit is trapped into the form, so now we've collided, we've created personality, we've created rotation, we've created shock. The spirit has entered and is trapped. This is our freedom here, you know. It's trapped. Woo. It awakens to the spontaneous desire. As soon as this collision takes place, the spirit realizes, uh-oh, I'm stuck in the body, you know. It awakens a spontaneous desire to return to its source. I want to go home. I'm out of here. Once it experiences the form, boom, refeeling. And that's where the big battle of the bowls always occurs, between the spirit trying to get out of the body and the body trying to trap it. And that's where you get fat sometimes. It's been one of the problems that I've always had, because I love to eat, you know. And my spirit really likes to be free, and I love it when I'm thin and I'm high, and I love it when I'm eating. You know, there's this war that goes on in everybody. Okay? The form, isn't that true? if it's human, you know, I don't mind being human. I'm used to it now, but I know what's going on. There's nothing I can do about it, right? I don't want to, evidently. If the form is clear and moving with the Spirit, it becomes lighter. Now check this out. If the form is clear and moving with the Spirit, it becomes lighter. That's more like Roy. He's got more of a body like that. Or Joe. If it is caught in the desire, like me, of the lower nature, the energy will be trapped and the form becomes heavier. And you have a stomach like this. Okay? The constant vacillation between the two natures, this constant vacillation between me having a body like these two over here and myself, creates gravity. Gravity is the interchange of energy from seven planes of consciousness. It is a mutual force causing a downward thrust of seven energies coming from the upward inward direction of Spirit. And what she is defining here is the physical energies of the universe striking matter and the Spirit going into matter and animating it. I mean, if you read this and understand it, you will have a consciousness like no other. A total synthesis would be either pure light or pure matter. Also occurring in the strike zone is some energy that has worked off karma or spent itself. The action of the animation of the personality, the path of the personality through the moment. Remember, energy is not created or destroyed, it's only transmuted. This coming and going in the struck zones creates a rhythm known as time. Time is the vibratory exchange rate of spirit and matter. Motion is the movement of the divine will being split by a desire. Gravity is the recombination of desire ascending to spirit after its expression through form. Anti-gravity detachment or impartiality is created by mind when it is disciplined to be free of desire, thus free of the time zone on the particular plane of consciousness. However, all time on all planes is impenetrable. Each of the seven planes has its own time zone. From our point of view, the higher the plane, the slower the time. Struck zone interchange can be seen as fusion or the return of the kundalini as spirit rises itself into form, creating time. The law of inertia causes a downward flow and the effect of the attraction to physical, a sort of bonding action, is in a highly developed individual. The organized force is in balance and moves out and away from the physical and creates the anti-gravity state of consciousness, is which what they teach in the transcendental meditation when they levitate, which our system 3 teaches you. That's the secret of that. Control of this energy comes from the mind via the upper mental plane when the lower mind stands aside and allows the higher mind to reach the astral and physical bodies. Anti-gravity consciousness is being reached by people through various yoga disciplines, and the side effect of levitation is demonstrated. The yogis call the state of consciousness Siddhi, and one area of public attention where this is happening is PM in America, and so on and so on and so on. That right there, that explanation, if you can understand it, will free you. You can take this and walk through a wall and never even feel it. I did it once on an acid trip. I don't know how I did it. She gave me that information. I took a hit of acid. I remembered it, and I walked through a wall, and people saw me do it. It's a matter of becoming conscious of all this is going on simultaneously and just being free of it all. And you can just do anything. And so when you go into systems consciousness, what these systems do, we've been talking now about the items. When you go into systems, they teach all of the body to balance. They teach all of the body to go into that state. And that freedom. The systems have side effects. One of them is levitation. There are many side effects. Depending on how dedicated you go into a system and what you try to achieve with it will determine then where you are networked in the world place and scheme of things. And this in turn will feed out into the world and the world will change. And then by the year 2000 this change will be well felt. You know, these seminars, you know, it's very interesting to do them. sometimes in the seminars we used to demonstrate some of this stuff. With a system 3, for example, we used to demonstrate levitation. The last time I publicly demonstrated levitation was in 1979 at the Long Beach Auditorium in front of 5,000 people. And I don't do this anymore because it got to be an attraction, a fatal attraction of the senses. I sold a system 3 to a lady who lives on Ward Avenue in Honolulu, Hawaii. She's a teacher over there. She teaches people like Cindy Crawford. She's a Cindy Crawford teacher, teaches supermodels. Her name is Rama Devi. She teaches them aerobics and stuff that these other teachers now teach people like Cindy Crawford. She had a room. We installed a Systems 3 about 1981, and she had ceilings higher than this in her room. It was a big room, and the room was about three times as big as this. I put the entire system up, and I taught her how to levitate in the system. I went away. I got a call from her husband the next morning, very early in the morning, in the hotel I was staying in Honolulu. The Ilokai, I remember the hotel. I got a call about 7 o'clock, and the husband's a little shaken, and he says, "We had a little situation here that needs your attention." So I went over there, and I come up the stairs, because, you know, the building was huge. It was like a big center like this, but it was way bigger than this. And I go up the stairs to the second level, where her loft is, and as I go up the stairs, I see Rama Devi in an arm cast and a leg cast on crutches. She had a cast on her arm from here to here. She had a cast on her, I forget which leg, this leg, from there to there. And she was on crutches. And she was in a great jovial, she was happy as hell, you know, to see me. And she's like, "What the hell happened to her?" Then I walk into the first part of the room. She had like an office, an anteroom, before you go into the back room. And there, if you could imagine, one of these radiators, and about a 160-pound woman falling 30 feet straight out of the sky, down on top of this, what this would look like. If I saw what she looked like, imagine what that looked like. Completely smashed to the ground. That was a pretty damn big fall. That's falling further than the ceiling height, directly down here. Almost 50%, this is probably a 20-foot ceiling. She had a 30 or 35-foot ceiling. Giant atrium building. Completely mangled it. She had gotten in her system, and this woman, you know, like when she worked on me, she was, you know, how they do foot massage. She'd go, "Let's get this out." Most guys take 3 treatments, you know, to get it out. Blockage, protein buildup and stuff, crystallization. She goes, and I go through the wall. She heals them in one shot. This woman is an extremist. She got in a system, she levitated, went clear to the ceiling, was flying around and having a jolly old time, probably one of the most successful levitators I've ever heard of. And we didn't know, you know, we had never ever levitated anybody higher than a few inches, usually. Usually we had them in a chair or something, we could control it. She levitated, cleared up, and went out of the circle. Well, the circle broke the field. Nobody had ever done this anymore. So her propulsion system collapsed, wherever it was, and she fell 30 feet directly down on the radiator. She still orders from us. She's been a customer for a lot of years, but she doesn't fly around her system anymore, you know? These systems can be programmed. We talked about the pyramid over the bed. It's a must to have one of those to stop that negative effect of negative radiation. The Hieronymus effect was patented in 1947. It's the transmutative power of the pyramid of the system and the secret of the scalar wave. Basically, what they did here is the homeotronic division of the Navy. All these top secret projects are funded by the United States Bureau of Intelligence, Naval Intelligence. They're the one that writes all the paychecks for Area 51, RICTAP. All the Air Force intelligence comes from the Bureau of Naval Intelligence. They were taking pictures of orchards, and it had bugs in them. And then they took the pictures of the orchards into this homeotronic laboratory in Newport News, Pennsylvania, and took the pictures in a box. And and they had a, they had to bring a farmer in, because it has to be the farmer that owns the land, so he has to be connected to it. And they put some insecticide in the black box, and they turned the dial on the black box, and the picture of the bugs are in there, and the black box has the insecticide in it, and immediately exterminated all the bugs. It took 6 weeks in all of the areas where the pictures were. Okay? And this was patented. 1947, T. Gale and Hanna, so I used to work with a man in this lifetime. He's a friend of mine, but he died. I also worked with Ava Wright. Her dad was Wilhelm Wright. You might have heard of him. He just discovered the Orgone effect. And so as a result of that, we have a weapon system here. Okay? When you program one of these irradiators, or one of these systems, whatever you put in the program will come to pass. So be careful how you use it. In Atlantis, we used them and we destroyed everybody with them. And we killed a lot of people and created the Bermuda Triangle. And you were there, you know. Now we try to use them for healing purposes. I've had one used against me negatively. It almost caused me to go to the hospital. It was up in Santa Cruz. There was a group up there, Christopher Hills. He was selling his black orgone box, which is a similar device and quite effective, but not as effective as one of these. And I was giving a seminar up there, and you know, when you have people like Christopher Hills and the University of the Trees, you've got a guru and you've got devotees. And I was in his backyard giving a seminar, and in those days he had a lot of radionic product, and we were directly competitors. He's out of business since then, but his people programmed one of these things on me. And what they did is they put a black a spider in a black box with a picture of me or some of my literature or something, which I found out about later. And when I went up there to give my seminar in Santa Cruz, I was in a hotel, a little hotel there by the ocean, and it caused it. I'm very friendly with spiders. At my house, if you'd known how many black widows were in my house, you wouldn't have gone in it last night. But my house has hundreds of black widows all around. They live there. I love spiders. They're a good insect to have. But anyhow, they turned one on me. It was a brown recluse, and I got bit by a brown recluse, which is more deadly than a black widow. And the way that they're dangerous is that they cause you to swell up, and they have to amputate the organ. Well, the damn spider bit me, and I swelled up, but my healing power was more powerful, and I just had to go to the hospital for some cortisone shots, and that was the end of it, and I had to give my seminar with my foot swelling up on a bench. And I knew that, because I'm friends with spiders, somebody had turned the system on me. And then later on, the guy that was one of the guys that was at the seminar was also a distributor in his Light Force group. He got a direct admission from one of the girls that in fact it happened the day before. So this stuff works, and don't use it for bad purposes. The good side of it is, if somebody is sick, you can take a blood sample and stick it in there with a healing cure and aim it at them, and they'll heal up real fast. Now realize that these things and all these devices have a healing power, but none of them heal you. There's no vitamin, pyramid, mineral, or element on the face of the earth that will cause you to heal. And anybody ever tried to sell you any kind of device or make any kind of claim is a charlatan. You have to heal yourself. What these devices do is allow your self-healing process to be greatly enhanced. Okay? Babaji flies around the universe, for example, without a spaceship. When he took Lahiri Lahasya, which was Paramahansa Yogananda, or Suryakaswara's teacher, which was the guru of Paramahansa Yogananda, when he took Lahiri Lahasya on a couple worldly trips, he didn't need a spaceship. He did it with his own kundalini power. You can do that. You know, some people do it. But most people are not advanced as they are. Babaji obviously is way more advanced than the Pleiadian, probably more advanced than an Andromedan. The Andromedans call people like Babaji the Pika Lords, or the Great Recorders. And there are four of them. And Babaji has a sister by the name of Mataji, and there's two that are unnamed. Two of them happen to live on the Earth. It's not a coincidence, you know, and not somewhere out on Andromeda. So there are very powerful heretical links into the brotherhood through the extraterrestrial And Babaji was the Puyehan. It was Babaji that taught me how to build a flying saucer engine. I learned it from him when he was teaching me how to astral travel. I happened to be one of his students also. The Pleiadians later verified that this is in fact, and the Pleiadians gave me the mechanics of it, but Babaji gave me the principle. If you look at some of the old books that were written by Sri Yukteswar that are up at the Bodhi tree, one of them is called The Holy Science. And there's a lot of this information in the Vedas too. So, just sharing some of this stuff with you. We have a box, we don't have them here, on the system of the Hieronymus machine, they have a black box. We don't use a black box, we use a power supply, and that connects to the irradiator and becomes a black box. Roy has one on our ion shower, which is another device to the power supply that goes with it. And it connects to the bottom of this thing, and you connect one or more of these things up in a sequence, like there's another book I had to read last night, to create different directional energies. When you're sending out healing power with one of these systems, you have to line the bottom of it to the magnetic north, and you have to point your radiator in the direction that you want the healing to go. Okay? You can also make a request for planetary changes. One person can use the system, or 500 people can use the system. And later on, I'll have Crocodile, when she comes back, when I finish, teach you how to program one of these things. And basically, what you're going to do is lay on the ground and hear music, put a crystal on your head, make notes, put the notes in the envelope, fit them in there, and when that crystal jumps off your head, that system is programmed. You'll have a physical sensation of the crystal bouncing off your head. Now, I'm not talking about explaining all that. When you use this equipment, if you're a husband and wife team and you have the same goal, you do not tell the other person what you broke down in the program. In other words, let's say you want to get a new car, it's fine. You have your way of getting it. The man has his way and the woman's got, and they want the same car, it doesn't matter. You never tell the other person what you wrote down and programmed in here, how you programmed, you just do it. As soon as you tell one other person, you destroy your program. Okay? It's that critical. But it works that intense. Okay? When you have more than one of these, when you have four of these, like we have in the living room, we have two facing in all the time, two facing out. We're like that picture that we have two out, two in. The reason for that is when you start transmitting positive energy out, you're going to get negative energy back. It comes in, neutralizes it, sends it down through a master crystal, grounds it up to the ambient, sends the negative energy out into the ground where it belongs. So you have to ground your system. The first thing that you need to get when you get a system is the grounding part first, which is the star orb up there, or the devil star, which is hanging behind it. That's the first thing you get. Then you get one of these, or you get them together. But you never get one of these. And without one of those, you're going to have problems. Okay, you're going to have negative feedback, and it'll come and bite you one day. When you set a quad system up, you program it during the new moon cycle, not the full moon cycle, and you have to wait 90 days to get the program online. To get it up to power, it takes 90 days. This is the way it works. First rotates three different positive and negative moon cycles, 90 days, and then you'll start seeing results. Some people will see results immediately. Others won't. It depends on how your third eye is working, how you're able to interpret actions behind actions, reactions behind actions. Kriya Yoga, they teach you to go down the street and observe and record everything, and everything tells you exactly what you want to know. You never have to ask a question. You can look at a sign and see a number and get a reading from that. It's the spontaneity of the moment that comes into play when you use this stuff. Does anybody have any questions? On the first of them, which is called a self-help system. The self-help system is the little book that I gave you last time. Everybody read it? Any questions on that? Everybody understands it?
What's the book like that?
Oh, you weren't here. There's a little book. It's called a self-help. Self-help system is what we have here. Primarily, you do self-improvement with it. You program, if you want to go to Hawaii tonight and after travel, you put a picture of Hawaii in there, you lay down and go to sleep, program it, and it happens. If you want to absorb a book, stick the book in there, you program the book to read to you, in your dreams to read books. I mean, that's the self-help side of it. The intimate details are in my tape series. I don't have time in the seminar to explain all that. Once you start into the system, you'll figure it out, and you'll be given enough instruction to start with. Okay? These systems are used in one radiator, which is a self-help, a four, which is a quad system, which is hooking into the four energies of the universe, or seven. When you go into seven, you're going into a multi-dimensional mode type of system, and it requires a lot of work to keep it up, to keep it running. This is the one that Brahma Devi had. Yeah, system three. Seven of the radiators.
How much does that run
for? You'll start a full system with the master crystal and everything, you'll start around 12,000-14,000. You'll spend over 60 on it before you're finished. But the money at some point will start generating itself. All that in the house that I had was given to me. I didn't have to buy hardly any of it. And the money that I bought, all that crystal in the house, came from the sale of crystals. Because I programmed my system in the very beginning to bring me crystals because I like it. You have to go through the mechanics of normal business transactions, but it's automatic. It just starts happening. Boom, boom, boom. Roy knows that. He's got a little bit of crystal. He's got probably one of the hottest crystal collections in the world. How long have you been into it now? 3 months?
Yeah.
He's got some amazing crystal. Because he's into it, you know? When you're into it, it comes. Now, when you set up a systems three, there's one thing about this technology. You never have to say you don't have any money. Because if you want it, it'll come instantly. Just wait for it. And realize it's coming. And I know it sounds like you're spending a lot of money. When you see what happens, everything here is 24 karat gold. There's nothing cheap here. There's nothing dumb here either. It's all real. There's nothing fake. There's no fake anything in there. It's all out of the earth. They're out of space. You go in and set up a system, like a systems three. Remember, you've got the earth moving 1,000 miles an hour. We're going this way. All these energies we talked about, creating gravity, time, motion, all these things, this machine is going through the air 1,000 miles an hour. There's a tremendous force around it. You can see it when you develop the eyes to see it. So everything is in motion, even though it appears that the state is not moving, it's in motion. What you do is you take a compass, and you go into a room, and you're setting up a systems three, and you point the compass to the north, usually in the corner. And you draw an imaginary line, and you place one irradiator bottom on the floor. It's called a megaorb, separate device. First thing you do is, if you're going to energize or charge the system, you have a plastic plate. Now, they didn't bring one down because they're not going to charge that one. We have a plastic plate that goes with it. When this sits on the floor, you've got to ground it. You're sitting on a piece of plastic, but you've got to ground it. But when you ground it, you go outside and get some ground and bring it in. Local stones, local nature spirits. Okay? So you put in two rocks from the local area, which now says the nature spirit and gold and all the energies in that form, because what you've got is nature spirit talking to minerals, creating a scalar wave with your consciousness when you write your program into it. You've got a lot going on here. You line this one up to the north, the bottom of it, and you face the irradiator in. This is for major self-help work. This is now called time zone one. Okay, key one. You come over here with a compass, you see compasses, you measure off the angle of the pyramid, right, 52 degrees. You come out 52 degrees, and you place another one of these irradiator bottoms in there, and that becomes time zone two. Take the compass again, you measure out 52 degrees, you come over here and you put it in, and that becomes time zone three. And you do this all the way around, until you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And guess what? When you get to the seventh one, you draw your imaginary line, you're back to T1 again. You've just defined a pyramid of seven irradiators. Okay? Geometry is, geometrically, it's a perfect system when you have seven of these. This is time 1, time 2, time 3, time 4, time 5, left a couple out. 6 and 7. if you want to move the vortexes of the planet forward, in other words, you want to go into the next space-time continuum and jump a parallel universe, you set this up to power up clockwise motion. And you set each one of these irradiators to fire off a series of synapses in your chakra in a sequence. So that means that you would take, like, for example, you put a diamond in here. A diamond is a stone with the first ray, a crown, goes to the top of the head. You're going forward. You go to the throat. You go from the head to the throat. So what would you put in? Does anybody know? Emerald. You come down to the stomach. You put in yellow. All the way around the colors, you define more. You could go from, usually we go from white to red, which is a tiny, you know, the rainbow as you want to define it. And each person will define this different. Some people will go directly to green. Other people will go into a ruby. And maybe they'll go into a citron, into a green. You can texture this energy. So you end up basically with diamond at the beginning and violet amethyst at the end. So you've defined the entire spectrum. Then you hook up one of our black box generators. And every one of these is hooked together. And when you turn this machine on, the potential, the ionization potential for this, you'll hear this cracking. It'll crack the air, and you'll have about 1,000,000 volts of electricity, static electricity, in the system, approximately 1,000,000 volts. The power supply generates about 50,000 volts. You saw what it did. And on certain dry days, you'll see lightning bolts discharging inside of it. Because it brings up and ionizes the entire cell structure of the body simultaneously. Then, if you want to work with other vortexes all over the world, before you turn it on, actually you can put all of your other stones that you've got to bring all of your energies in. Usually when you get a fire star in a system 3, all the minerals and rocks and crystals that you've accumulated over the years are used somewhere. Everything in your life, in your house, will go to work in these systems. You'll just know that you bought that for some reason, and now you know 20 years later why you bought this and what you're going to do with it, because it'll show you what to do with it. And so the whole system is up and running now. Then I recommend, and then you need lasers. Okay, you need a series of lasers. And what the lasers are going to do is they're going to fire down on these different minerals that you've got in there, because not only do you have the local stones in there, we use two pieces of quartz, okay, in the bottom. If you read your book last night, you'll understand why those are there. And we have the amplifier crystal, which is a cluster, it's up in the top. All of these come from the northern hemisphere, from Arkansas. It's necessary because it's a healing power, and north of the equator, when water goes through a drain, it goes clockwise. So the helix, the crystal helix of quartz coming from north of the equator, is towards healing energy. It's an upbeat, positive swing. When you start bringing in Brazilian crystal and adding it to the system, you're adding a counterclockwise energy to it, which is okay because you're marrying a male and female energy and you're creating a vortex of infinity. We call this the extraterrestrial effects. Okay? You can do so much. When you get this thing energized, there's a lot of things you can do with it. Then you need a master crystal. Your master crystal is your central reservoir of energy, and your master crystal transmits memory of the entire Akashic records of all space and time of human events into the consciousness of these different irradiators, which then dumps it down onto the nature spirits, so that the nature spirits that are working with the system have infinite memory. But you don't want to over-educate the nature spirits. You want to keep them under control, because if they get out of control, your system will run away with itself. So what you do to keep that under control is you make damn sure that you program this thing slowly, and you make damn sure that you understand what you're doing and you don't get going too fast with it, because it'll spin you right out. Now, then we have two moon cycles. In the moon cycle, during the positive cycle, or the waxing moon, the new moon cycle, which you look on a calendar, is when you do your programming. During the full moon, you leave it alone. You don't touch it. You only program during the new moon, which is now, because we're in a new moon cycle. All these programs will be dumped down into your master crystal. Once the master crystal receives the information and the programming is finished, and Franco Bell will teach you about that, where the crystal jumps off your head, then you just go away from the system and leave it alone. Let it do its thing. Okay? You don't mess with it. You don't interfere with it. When the full moon cycle comes, We used to have to turn all the irradiators in and the closets from all of them in, but then Sannyasa came along with the Amiyan and said, we don't have to turn the radiators in to block the negative energy from entering the system during the full moon of resistance time. We can process it into the earth. And that's what this device does. So this device will be sitting over your master crystal, as close to it as you can get to it on the full moon. On the new moon period, you'll pull it on a pulley, and you'll swing it up, and this thing will get the hell out of the way. You don't need it anymore for that part. Okay, so this is how you have above this, you'll have a separate one of those, and these two will be physically tied to each other, just exactly like it was in the house, I'm sure. Did you notice in the house last night how it was set up? Once, and there was another one that was on a pulley, it went up to the ceiling, you pull it up, it was a new moon. Get it away, let that master crystal do its thing. Even in Arkansas, where people don't know what systems are, when they mine the quartz, they know what a master crystal can do. You go into a little shop down there, and you'll see a piece of quartz over there in the corner. And you'll have everything in every piece of quartz in the shop for sale. And this might not even be the most beautiful one in there. And you say, I want this one. They'll say, no, that one's not for sale. Well, I really want it. I'll give you the most expensive crystal for $500. I'll give you $1,000. It's not for sale. Why isn't it for sale? Because that master crystal is protecting that shop. If somebody wants to come in the middle of the night, steal something, that master crystal will cause the thought forms of the assailant short circuit and they'll run them off. Twice, Ron Coleman has had
a burglar going in your house.
We don't have problems like that at our house. You know, we aren't stupid, but burglars short circuit. You know, people can't even find my house if I don't want them to. I can put a sign out there, Fred Bell is here, and they won't find it. Or if I want something to come to me, you can write Fred Bell, Laguna Beach, California, 96651, it'll arrive in my mailbox. People have done that before. It depends on whether we want it there or we don't want it there. Ron Coleman has had two times crystals stolen. This is when they mine them down there. He's got a couple of them, pretty good sized pieces stolen. Within 4 to 8 hours, these crystals surfaced and people were arrested and stolen. You cannot steal from Ron. So he just, when he mines it, he has stacked of it outside. In his old mine, he used to stack it outside his house. But he didn't care. Nobody would steal from him. They tried and they got busted immediately. You can't steal from these systems. They'll destroy it. They master crystal. Once you get your master crystal, it's yours for life. You know, it teaches you an awful lot. I sold that one that I sold it over there in Kauai. The Buddha over there heard my teachings and he wanted a master crystal and he had a vision. And so he came to me and he said, I want a crystal. So he went down to Arkansas. He was one of his people down in Leafy Zion with me in Arkansas. He got a 700-pound master crystal. He stuck it over there in Hawaii. He built a temple around it. And all the Buddhists in the world use that now. They call the Shiva Lingam program every temple. It has a Buddha in it, you know. It's amazing what this stuff does and where it's being used. And so anyway, this is the basic system. And during the full moon, you want to raise this thing up out of the way. And you also connect the ground wire to it. Now be careful when you don't put your ground wire into your high voltage wire. Because your high voltage wire and ground wire, when it meets, you'll have lightning. Because you've got this tremendous grounding field in the center of this high potential. And eventually, you won't use as much voltage on your system, but people, their bodies are so toxic and they're so wasted through energy and they're not sensitive most when they first get into the system, that they usually run it full bore, you know. I used to run mine full bore. I don't even have a power supply anymore because I learned how to run it without a big, giant power supply. But it's always good to start with power supply, and some people use them forever. The systems three, those of you that want to learn about systems three, I don't teach much on it anymore. I don't have to. I'll just turn you on to somebody that has one and they'll learn everything. Because these things do anything. You can do anything with them. And so I just put you in a network of somebody that's got one. And there's usually one somewhere where people buy them. Or so there's just one I can find. And you can just go. One of the things that was really interesting, though, an example of how creative you can get. When we were at the, remember the convergence? Harmonic convergence? We had the the Jack Tar Hotel rented up on the Cathedral Hill Hotel now. We rented a Japanese pavilion up on the top of it. You ever seen it? The giant penthouse up there? It's about 10 times as big as this room and twice as tall. Huge, big place on top of a high rise. And we set up a system like this with a 200-pound master crystal, and we had about 30 people at that time, or maybe 40. And the guy, this was my idea. It was the guy from Germany, that used to be my distributor up there. He knew how, he had his idea how he wanted to use it. So what he did is he wanted to have some fun with it. So we had everybody lying down on the floor. And so you imagine this is a person, this is their legs, this is their hands. Okay. Everybody laid down, the master crystal was in the center, and we had everybody lie down all the way around it, joining hands. So we had a perfect circle of humans joining hands, all of their heads pointed at the master crystal, and all of their feet at the bottom. And then what we did is everybody had to do this 15-minute meditation, similar to the one we did yesterday, to get the consciousness kind of unified as a group, right? Because we decided to do what's called gamma running, or what the Tibetans call 50-foot leaps, or 60-foot leaps. And I think you remember the Moody Blues song, the song on Children's Children, those 60-foot leaps, you know, from up here, what a view. So what we did is we took all the irradiators, instead of facing them in, all the irradiators were faced this way, clockwise. Then we had the entire group after meditation come outside, and this is a huge room, so you could really not demonstrate it in here. We did, but we had the entire group start running, imagining this meditation, running around the outside of the system. So you got people that are that can do this. See that spring that I did? I don't have enough room to really demonstrate it. But instead of 1 foot coming up in the air and coming down here, the distance from here to where you came down was 60 feet. The whole group did it. All the people. Prabhupada, I'm almost done here, so you'll be teaching how to program a crystal, right? The music and everything. So we had the whole group, 40 some people, do the 60-foot leaps after one synchronistic meditation in System 3. Everybody did it. And it was fun. Tell them about the 60-foot leaps at the Harmonic Convergence at the Jack Tar Hotel. So, I mean, we do stuff like that back in those days. And that's what we were supposed to do. It's a supernatural phenomenon, but it was fun. And I never forget the wind. And it was effortless. As you ran, the group running, I think people running around the system, doing just flying through the air. The people, the women, and old women, even older women, they're just swimming. And they start to close their eyes, and it's like people swimming in the air, and you didn't need water. So that was one of the things we did with the system in a group. You know, you guys, when you start networking and getting your systems going, you'll probably figure some stuff out. And I hear on a daily basis from my group. Now, the way I got into master crystals was my friend Ron Spencer taught me about master crystals. I didn't know anything about them when I first got into this. I mean, I know a lot about them now. Probably not much next to Lithuanian, but I actually was given my master crystal, you might say. A medical doctor was trying to teach me. He was my first medical teacher and metaphysical. He was an MD and he was dying of cancer. So that big master crystal that's on my table up there, you saw the big one, the big point? I paid only $80 for that. That's all I paid for it. If you were to buy one like that right now, we could probably start you out around $5,000 or $6,000 if you're lucky. I think I got one up there now a little smaller for $5,000. And then we're gonna talk more like $15,000 or $20,000. That's what you're gonna pay. I got one in the garage here for $10,000, the bigger one sitting out there. And then after that, and the reason it's so expensive now, because there aren't any more. They only come from one mine in the northern hemisphere, and that mine is under 400 feet of water. There's a few down there, and when Ron brings them up, they all came from the same mine, every one in the whole United States. And when they bring them up, the cost of mining is so many dollars per pound, and they're sold by so much per pound. And the mining costs have gone from a few dollars a pound to hundreds of dollars a pound to mine those things. So they just leave them in the ground. He pulls them up, and it's like that one you bought, that big white one. What did you pay for that one? Remember? It was $5,000-$6,000 range. That same crystal, if I already did not have it in my possession, and you went down to Arkansas, when we go down there and you see them, you'll see that same crystal about like that, 35,000-40,000. That's what you're going to see. And people, you get ready for a little shock. But when you see what those things do, then it's no problem. So anyway, I paid $80 for mine. I was in on the ground floor. I got it home, and when I got home with it, I sat on the floor. It looked pretty neat. It was a hell of a big rock. I mean, that's what, to me, was a rock. Pretty, right? And this guy was explaining to me these etheric qualities and his healing, and it's a master crystal. It's for a doctor. Well, about a week later, the doctor died. So I nobody was preaching to me about this $80 crystal that I bought, right? So then Ron knew, this is our Tibetan friend, American turned Tibetan friend, he comes down to the house and he sees the crystal on the floor, and he knows, and he's the guy, by the way, that invented these things here, you know. He knows damn well that I don't know what I've got there on the floor. You know, he looks at me, you know, and we're all teachers back and forth on this level. He's one of my first systems networkers. He looks at that, he says, "How much you pay for that?" I says, "I think I paid $80, $100. I didn't really want to know, maybe around $100 at home." Ron says, "I'll give you $500 for that, right now." I look at him, $420 profit. Write me a check. He wrote me a check, picked that thing, the crystal up. He's living up at Applegate Valley then, took it up, put it in his system up there. He had my master crystal. I had $500. Made $400 profit. I thought it was really, this is back in Paradigm with a nothing company. I mean, I lived in that house. We didn't even have furniture at one point, hardly. Just a very little of it, you know. And there was no crystal in there at all, and there wasn't any lasers in there then. And so he takes this thing, and I had about 2 or 3 weeks go by, and every time I go in the living room, I get depressed. And I didn't want to be in the living room anymore, you know. And in those days, I don't think we even had systems yet. We were just inventing the first irradiator about then, you know, Sumiati gave us. That was given to us out of New Mexico, north of White Sands. So anyway, I realized there's something to this crystal. So then he calls me up. He says, "Fred, you want that crystal back? I'm done with it now." It was about 6 weeks has gone by. I said, "You bet I want it back." And when he came in the house with it, I had $500 going there. He says, "Just give me my money back, you know." And I had one. I didn't write him a check. That's how much I missed that master crystal. And that 6 weeks, that crystal was out of my life after having it. I really missed it. And that's how I learned about master crystals. I mean, that was the beginning of it. How many of you have heard of the Bodhi tree? Up there in L.A. Two guys own it. A guy named Sam, a guy named Phil own it. Sometime when you're up there, ask them to see their master crystals. How many of you have seen the Bodhi tree go from a little place to a giant place? It's probably one of the largest bookstores in the West Coast. Ask them why they did that. They have their master crystals in the center of the store, and when they built that new building, which looks like a temple, they put a special place up in the wall and build them into the wall. And you can see them. They each have their own master crystal upstairs. This stuff is used in the ashrams of some of the great masters. They have master crystals stuck away. They don't tell people about it. They just use them. So there's a whole science to master crystals. Now also in the crystal kingdom, there are different grades of quartz. A piece like this over here, for example, is what we call a utilization piece. Stands a little piece. Double terminated, but quality wise, that's probably $15 a pound. That's what it would sell. It's not museum grade. If I had this, if this was a matte pearl and it was this big, it'd be about $5,000 a pound. Okay, museum grade. Because Arkansas grades its quartz into different categories. You get up into this material right here, this is $50-$60 a pound for this kind of stuff right here. That'd be probably the name of the pound right there. They found it has different vibratory rates. The clearer it is, the better it is in most cases, all the way up until you get into what's called the Mac Earl. Now, normally, in Arkansas court, if you look at a cluster, it has what's called sleet on it. Thing called sleet. This court right here has sleet on it. If you look at it, you'll see little bitty pieces of quartz stuck on it. Okay? The sleet, when you mine, the crystal, I can tell you right now, this crystal was pointed exactly like that when it came out of the mine. Wasn't like this, wasn't like that, wasn't like that, it was exactly like that, in that direction. That's north. The sleet always goes to the north wall of the crystal. Okay? It's the way it's done in Arkansas. South American crystal has no sleet. You'll find a cluster come down there, it will have no sleet. Only Arkansas crystal has sleet on it. It's a geometrical forming process that tunes into the Akashic records, which we talked about yesterday. There was one piece of quartz, there was one find in the history of the United States that broke the rule. There was only one find. There was a mine that had some beautiful crystal in it. It was only 6,000 or 8,000 pounds. And what happened was, in nature, sometimes the quartz will turn. As soon as it turns, it's crushed. It becomes gravel. This mine, the sleet was on the north. It turned 180 degrees, which we normally thought would destroy it. And then it turned upside down 180 degrees. And when they opened the mine, the crystal was found upside down and backwards. The only mine ever found. It was the Mackerel Mine. The Mackerel Mine is where this comes from. This is Mackerel. This is the most, every collector anywhere on the face of the earth, in any country, knows what this stuff is, if you're a collector. It has the most healing power, has the most psychic power. It's called Mackerel. Okay? People that have collections now will triple and quadruple in value as it goes over the years. If you take this and put it in front of a xenon light, you've seen those big, bright xenon lights? You stick that in a xenon light, you look down in there and you'll see little blue feathers. Like somebody took little bird feathers and put them inside here. It's trapped oxygen. It's the only crystal in the world, when observed under a xenon or quartz lights, you see the little blue feathers. It's the only quartz that will do that. Only Mackerel has it. There's never been any more. They've mined it, they've looked, they've dug holes, they've looked for pockets. People have come from all over the world. The top psychics in the world have gone to the Mackerel Mine in that vicinity looking for some more of this stuff. There ain't no more. Okay? This is it. There probably never will be any.